Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
We are back, family.
Our Friday show, Jesus 911 with Jesse and Anita.
Yep, the spiritual warfare on Friday, but it's what I would call pop culture spiritual warfare, things that apply to the individual and the family. And the month of April is...
The month of April is dedicated to what? The Most Holy Eucharist, which is a sacrament of all sacraments.
Amen.
It is, what is it? It's the body and blood of and soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're celebrating, right? And the Eucharist is, what is it? It's central to our faith. So it is the sine qua non.
That's
and
Latin.
What is that? For the indispensable element of Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Eucharist is Emmanuel, God with us.
Yep, here on planet Earth. Can you imagine that?
Yes. He's right here. The Holy Eucharist is proof that Jesus Christ keeps his promises because he said he would remain with us until the end of time. And you can find that in Matthew 28:19. So he reigns now, today, as our Eucharistic King from every golden tabernacle around the world. So all of you that go to adoration, good for you. And
yes,
those that haven't gone to adoration at least once a week, please try and make that your, even though it's not the new year, we're almost in the middle of the new year, but still make a change. You know, it's called metanoia.
Yes, never too late.
Never too late to start visiting our Lord at least once a week for 1 hour.
And growing in holiness.
Yes, that's part of it.
Here's something interesting, and I'll tell you, I think it was the genius of Pope John Paul II that gave us adoration again. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. It's just an observation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because after 1970,
yeah,
the Mass went for the Latin Mass of the Novus Ordo Mass. And so a lot more noise came in.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
Clapping, tambourines, electric guitar.
Shaking hands.
Shaking hands. And so... Mm-hmm. Where a lot of Catholics, because most Catholics go to Novus Ordo parishes.
Yeah, okay? Most Catholics.
Yeah, because there's not enough Latin Mass parishes around.
Mm-hmm.
So most Catholics go to 95% go to Novus Ordo parishes around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, and this is why so many Catholics are attracted to adoration, because they spend silence there. They know they're missing something in their interior life, and they're saying, this is what I'm missing.
Yeah, right.
And so John Paul II has given us a lot of the contemplative fruits of the Latin Mass by giving us and reinstituting Eucharistic adoration around the world, because a lot of people that are used to the noisiness or have grown up with all the noise post-1970 Mass, now they're able to enter into that. What the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it's just so beautiful to sit there and just front of the Lord and just say, you know, he talks to me, I talk to him, you know, and I talk to him, he talks to me. So we need to just know what it is to be in contemplative prayer, which is the highest form of prayer. You got three forms of prayer, and that's the highest form.
Spontaneous, meditative, and contemplative.
And the reason why we have that desire for silence, although we go to Mass and many of our Novus Ordo Masses are very beautiful.
And reverent.
And reverent. We still don't reach that phase of prayer. And maybe just a very short time after communion,
right,
we can reach it there if there's quiet.
Yeah.
But most of the time there is music, which is very beautiful. And this gives you a chance to be there in quiet. And it's beautiful because other people are just doing their own prayer, you know, their prayers during the adoration. So you're with like-minded Catholics in the adoration chapel or in the church.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Also, something interesting about just the language of the church, Latin. If you know, I worked for the sheriff's department for many years. My wife was a nurse, and in the medical community, my wife had to learn all kinds of Latin words because all kinds of Latin words are introduced into medicine.
Yes.
Same thing with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. If you spend any time in a courtroom, and I was a bailiff for a while
in law,
all the terms in a courtroom come from Latin, vordire, habeas corpus, you know, writ of certiorari. Mm-hmm. Every medicine and laws, it all comes from the Latin language, which is the language of Mother Church. Yeah. And here's what's
interesting. It narrows down the actual description of what you're talking
about.
It's
more precise.
It's more precise. Absolutely. Yeah. Like calculi means rock. That's what calculi means. It's rock. So it's easier to say calculi, whatever. So
it's a more precise language.
Absolutely more precise.
And this is one of the reasons I've heard Father Ripperger say, I've asked him, he says, the reason Latin is more effective when you in exorcism and in spiritual warfare, he says, because it's courtroom language. Think about what I just said right now. That's a mic drop moment.
Yeah.
And the demon understands, oh no, he went from English or Spanish to courtroom language.
Yes.
Latin is the language of law. It's courtroom language, mm-hmm. and demons understand that they're saying, oh no, he went from English, he went from Spanish, now he's using the ancient courtroom language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons, again, why it's more effective, because the demons understand that Latin is a legal courtroom language, and so they understand the power of that language when it's being protected, protected.
And those of you familiar with Latin and you read it, you can recognize a lot of those terms when they're brought forth when you're listening to, for example, President Trump's trial today. You know, every day they're spewing Latin words. So little do they know.
they're
honoring the language that is precise.
So here's a challenge to everybody who listens to this program: learn the how to make the sign of the cross in Latin. Anybody can do that.
Yes,
it'll take you a week to learn. Learn the Glory Be, the Our Father, and the Hail Mary in Latin.
Yes,
learn those four prayers in Latin. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How to make the sign of the cross in Latin. The Glory Be in Latin, the Our Father in Latin, and the Hail Mary. That's not that difficult. It's notice not. I didn't ask you to memorize the Apostles' Creed or the Hail Holy Queen. That takes more effort.
Yeah,
but
right.
those four prayers, mm-hmm. I think every Catholic should be able to memorize those
and
four
And the way
prayers.
You can do it is through the Holy Rosary.
Repetition.
That's how I learned it. Learned it, when is it, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
We learned it 20 years ago. We decided to buckle down and learn Latin. Because that's when we were helping with some of the priests with deliverance.
Yeah.
And we felt like, gosh, we better learn Latin. That's more precise, and we know that it's more effective. And so we got to the books, and we started studying.
It took
studying.
About a week to learn.
Yeah, it didn't take very long.
Take long.
Yeah. I would learn it on my treadmill. Get on the treadmill. I had it there, and I was doing my rosary and right there. So ora et labora, right?
Pray and labor.
Okay. That's laborious, trust
Two
me.
Things we want to talk about today. We want to talk about, it's good news, the Satanic Conference has been canceled for 2024. So again, protests work. That's all I can tell you.
Yes, they do.
Unlike some people think in some dioceses that protests don't work.
Yep.
Protests work, and we're going to prove it to you. And then we're going to talk also about, we're going to go deeper. Last week we talked, or 2 weeks ago we talked about the Noonday Devil.
Yep.
But we're going to do a deeper dive on that topic, the Noonday Devil.
Absolutely. Yes, we needed to go over this again and more in depth.
Because it affects all of us.
Yeah, all of us, even not me. You know, I'm like, oh, I miss my Angelus.
Yeah.
So if I don't have my phone on the time that we pray the Angelus at 6:12 and 6, I miss it. Because why?
Exactly.
Because I'm getting distracted, right?
By the noonday
demon. Yes. So,
the Satanic Conference has been canceled for 2024. By the way, the headquarters for the Satanic Temple is Boston, Massachusetts.
Yes.
They moved their headquarters from Detroit, Michigan to Boston, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Okay. When the Satanic Temple announced it would hold history's largest conference of Satanists in Boston on April 28th to 30th, 2023, many thought it useless to protest. The high-profile event that attracted 800 satanic participants enjoyed the support of the major media and the liberal establishment. By the way, some of the organizers called me up, and I just gave them a word file.
Of what to do.
How to organize against the drag queens and Temple of Satan. So I just emailed them. I said, follow this checkoff list. And it tells you everything to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stood in contact with them. And they're saying, Jess, we're going through your list and you made it very easy. Mm-hmm. And they had a very successful counter-protest, prayerful protest as a result.
Yes.
So if anybody wants that checklist, if the drag queens or the Temple of Satan is going into your area, just email me and I'll send it to you. It's just a 15-point checklist. Yeah. Call the police. It's simple stuff like that. Yeah. It's simple. Make sure you know where the bathrooms are.
Yeah.
It's just basic things.
Yeah, a lot of details that go behind a protest.
Yeah.
You know, just for the sake of the people that are with you protesting, you know, you want them to be comfortable. You want them to feel, most of all, safe. That's the concern of many people that go to these prayer rallies, so they want to feel safe. There's a lot of people from, young teenagers to adults, 70, 80, and they want to feel safe.
Yeah.
And so that's up to us to bring that safety.
Absolutely.
And by the way, in the arena.
And by the way, if you get law enforcement involved and you're there praying,
you notify them,
you're going to be safe.
Right.
And get a bunch of guys there too. You want more men there.
Yes. Yes.
You want more men there.
Get those men's groups out there.
Yeah. And I even tell in the little outline or the little 15 checkoff list, have the men stand around the perimeter like a wall. And the women in the middle, and you're all praying, obviously.
Yep.
The women are in the center, and the men form a wall.
Yeah.
People are going to be less apt to try to attack somebody if they see a bunch of guys around. We'll be back, family. Jesus 911. We're talking about good news. The Satanic Conference 2024 is canceled.
Yes.
Pray for us. Tonight you hold us in your army. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Tonight you hold us in your army.
We are back, family. Jesus 911.
With Jess and Anita. It's so good. I love Friday. It's exciting to be with you. I get to be on with my husband. And God, what a privilege it is to be here. It's not, you know, not us. It's all about Christ. Remember that. We're here. We're just messengers. Old peeny little people that said yes to Jesus. What do you want me to do? Jesus, we'll do it for you.
That's right.
And that's why we're here.
Yeah, there's a verse in Zechariah. It says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to you be all the glory. So Jesus 911, we are two spiritual first responders. We're no longer... government first responders. I'm no longer a cop. She's no longer a nurse. We are now spiritual first responders.
Yeah. Jesus first responders.
That's right. And what we're doing is we're tending the soul.
Yes, yes. And we want to encourage you. Just come on, let's go. All of us.
Yeah.
You know,
jump on that Jesus train. Let's go. Right. Let's get to heaven.
Right. Let's jump in the wagon. Like we used to have a station wagon in the 60s. Jump in our station wagon.
And let's go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the good news that the Satanic Conference has been canceled in 2024. They set up shop in Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And again, protests work.
Yeah, they do.
And this article demonstrates that.
Yeah. So many, many Catholics disagreed with the call for inaction. In other words,
many Catholics
in the diocese,
in the chancery office.
They say, don't do it. Pray in the church. Yeah. You don't have to be out there. Yeah. Don't go out there. So they felt the need to protest and manifest their disgust and rejection of this satanic festival billed as a weekend of blasphemy.
That is the lay people felt that. Yeah.
They disagreed with the agreement that protests only call attention to these highly publicized events. Indeed, the lack of protests only calls attention to the absence of fervent souls.
Wow, what an indictment. Fortunately, Catholics showed up in force to protest the 2023 conference.
Yeah.
The massive protest had its effect.
The Satanic
Temple announced on its Instagram on December 31st, 2023, that the group would not be holding a Satan Con in 2024. Once again, if they go into your town, email me and I'll give you a 15-point checklist of what you should do to organize a prayer rally protest.
Yeah. And so what's the efficacy of a protest? The macabre group claimed, that's the Satanists, the ongoing battle against theocracy. That's what they believe, going against God and the kingdom of God has absorbed its energy and resources. So they're spent with their finances. That's essentially what this is saying. Thus, its organizing committee reported that, quote, after thoughtful deliberation, we've made the decision to postpone our next SatanCon event to 2025. So they decided, because of finances
and bad press,
they decided, okay, let's just sit back. We're not going to do it this year, but let's plan for 2025.
Massive protests have complicated the holding of the satanic gatherings. And let me say, it's been these massive protests by Catholics.
By Catholics.
Lay Catholics.
Yes, yes. You get sprinkling of Protestants here and there, but nothing
Big. Organized.
We always, you know, overpower.
By far.
By far.
And they outnumber us, you know.
Oh, yeah. All
by far in this country.
Yes,
there's
absolutely.
There's 220 million Protestants.
Because remember, it's
and
that.
And 70 million Catholics.
Yeah, because it's that philosophy of theirs. It's me and Jesus. Me and Jesus. Forget about everybody else. It's me and Jesus.
Yep, doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So massive protests have complicated the holding of these satanic gatherings. Organizers face not only protesting Catholics and increased security obligations, but reluctant hotels that fear the negative publicity. And that's also what we did here in Scottsdale.
Yep.
And that's what I have in my Word document. Call the hotel, blast the hotel, and say, how dare you, Marriott? How dare you?
Yeah.
I'm never going to use you again.
Yes.
That's a PR nightmare.
Yes,
and
it
so
is.
That's one of the other techniques to get them not to rent to the satanic temple.
Yeah. While the announcement highlights the cancellation of SatanCon 2024, it also admits facing opposition elsewhere. Implicit in the confession is that SatanCon cannot be held because there is so much opposition in the ongoing battle fight against theocracy nationwide. Wow. It's not just the areas in Scottsdale where we had the first one, in Boston.
That was the first one. Around the nation.
It's nationwide, guys. Listen to that. This is victorious.
Yes. And let's give credit where credit is due.
Yes.
I'm going to tip my hat off. I don't have a hat on, but I'm going to fake
okay.
it.
Let me fake it. Tinfoil hat for liberals.
Yeah.
Tinfoil hat.
Because Jesse's got a tinfoil hat. The liberals say that about me. I'm going to tip my hat to America, Nice, Fatima, and TFP.
Absolutely.
Because
yes,
they're there at our beckoning call around the country. When you call them, they mobilize.
Yes.
And they're ready to help you with people, with email blasts. They'll even send you, for your particular event, big banners for you to hold, and very professionally done.
Very professionally done. And you don't need to take banners.
No, they'll provide them
banners
for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I got to tip my hat to them because this organization, they roll up their sleeves.
Yes, they do.
And they hit the streets for Jesus.
Absolutely, they do. They do, and we want to thank them for them. And they've been doing this for a while. Before the first SatanCon in Scottsdale, they have been doing this for a while. They've been fighting. They go to the capitals and they're fighting, and they're there
to
protesting
colleges.
To colleges. Yeah. They're getting spit at and violated.
Yeah.
You know, when they have every right to be there and protest, and they know they do their homework before they go somewhere. What can we do?
Yeah.
Where do we stand?
They always follow the law.
Yes, they follow
the law.
But
they're fearless Catholics.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you. They're an example to all of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, continue.
So wherever the Temple of Satan initiatives like After School Satan Clubs have surfaced, protests meet them that take time and resources to come back. So they're always, every time they're there at their same clubs or trying to, there's always protesters there. So that's good. Thank you. All of you that make the effort to take the time off your day to be there to protest, let them know, not on my watch.
Exactly.
Not on our watch, not on Jesus' watch.
That's right.
That you're going to be here.
Thus, both the local protests against TST programs, the Temple of Satan, and national effort have proved to be extremely effective.
Yep.
Protests, big and small, work. Let no one say the contrary. The Cancel Satan Kong 2024 is proof. And my wife, we've organized. We've been involved in massive protests. We've been involved in small protests against the Satanists and the drag queens. Yeah. And it's effective.
It's effective.
They
it's
don't effective. Like the negative PR. It's effective.
Just in the recent prayer rally in front of our diocese, the Phoenix Diocese, they had a drag queen festival.
Across the street.
And people were inquiring about what we were doing. Why are we protesting? Testing. So
they were turning heads.
We were turning heads, and we're making those Catholics that were Catholics passing by just, oh man, oh, should I be going to this? Should I be? I should be joining them. They're praying. I should be on that side. You know, cognitive dissonance. They're trying to figure out what should I do? What should I do? Their conscience is perking if they are Catholics.
Yeah.
So, that's just something that, see, it's, you know, prayer is never going to go void.
Nope. The Bible says that my word that's projected for us shall not return to me void.
And I knew he'd come out with a scripture verse. Yeah. That's why I said it.
Isaiah 55, verse 8-11.
He's my walking Bible. I just got to ask him, sweetie, where can I find this? If I can't find it myself.
Exactly.
But right now we're on the stump, so.
That's right. So there's reasons to protest. There's many reasons why Satan Con events need to be protested. They have included atrocities such as workshops on teaching people how to turn abortion into a satanic ritual. Mm-hmm. They've had satanic marketplace where they sell satanic wares in public. Mm-hmm. In public, they do unbaptism ceremonies where they're trying to have people renounce their baptisms. Satanic wedding chapels. Oh. They've also had like orgies on Friday night. Mm-hmm. They advertise it too, by the way. Their open mockery of the church and their sacraments is part of the Satanist effort.
Isn't it their Satanist ball, or they call it the...
Yeah, exactly, the satanic ball.
The satanic ball.
Yeah, so the mockery of the Catholic Church and their sacraments is part of the Satanist effort to mainstream their agenda into society and the public square.
Mm-hmm. So the massive 2023 protests... And the need for vigilance. Opposing these blasphemous program last April was a multitude of faithful Catholics from all over the country. They converged upon Boston to hold peaceful, powerful, and prayerful rosary rallies of reparation daily. The protests were a way to put into practice baptismal vows to reject Satan and all his works. That's what we do. When we do that twice a year.
Do it publicly.
Publicly.
You go out there, what we do at Mass?
Yes.
We're making good on that promise at Mass when you go to one of these rallies in public.
Yes. Yes.
What we do at Mass. So it's just not lip service.
No, it's not.
Do you reject Satan? I do. Yeah. Do you reject the works of darkness? I do. Okay.
Okay.
Well, the Satanists are coming into your town.
What are you going to do?
There you go.
What are you going to do?
That puts into public.
Yes.
What you just professed at Mass, you promised God that you're going to do.
Right. The rallies were organized by the American Society for the Defense of Tradition, Family, and Property.
They're
also known as TFP. Thank you. And it's America Needs Fatima campaign. TFP Student Action live streamed the rallies over its powerful channel. In addition, the TFP band with drums, brass, fifes, and bagpipes would play Marian and patriotic hymns with the prayer warriors singing along. It's just so beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. It makes you feel so proud to be American because we are able to do it, but mostly Catholic.
Yes.
Lovers of Christ. It's just, you got to go there. It's just, it's life changing. It really is.
Yes.
And that's what we heard from a lot of people that attended these. Yeah. They said,
you know,
that have
come out with us.
This is life changing. Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be like that, but they were having a continued conversion of like actual grace.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah, we get actual grace in certain times.
And that was one of them for a lot of these people. Just the testimonies that we heard at Dodger Stadium. The testimonies we've heard from the Scottsdale, Arizona. Yeah,
yes.
The testimonies we've heard from the drag queens that went to the Phoenix Theater. We were across the street.
Yeah, only because we're mentioning these because we were...
We've actively participated and organized them.
Yes, yes.
The drag queens, the festival, 20,000 LGBTQ people across from the diocese.
Yeah.
And then the people, you can just see the, like you said, the prick of conscience. They're looking at us, our signs, our praying with faith and love for them. And you can see that something's happening in their mind as they're something walking by and looking at us.
Wow.
It's called actual grace.
Grace. Actual grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, we get sanctifying grace when?
The sacraments.
Through sacraments. That's when we get sanctifying grace.
But
that's
actual grace
catechesis
comes
through, right now.
Yeah, exactly. Through prayer.
Through prayer, yes.
Hey, we're going to switch gears on the next topic. We want to go kind of deeper into the noonday devil.
Yeah, the noonday devil. That's something that we need to cover again.
Yeah, we want to probe deeper.
Because this is pretty important because we're all busy throughout the day. Many of us are really good about starting our prayers in the morning. Holy pause. Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
We'll be right back. Yes. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the noonday devil.
Yeah, the lady that holds us in the matchbox.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Perfect.
Pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your
family, we are back.
Yes, it's great to be back. This is our Friday show, Jesus 911, our spiritual warfare show.
Yep, and this is what we would call populist spiritual warfare.
Yes, populist.
Yeah, and what I mean, these are just things, brass tacks things that people are affected by and what we can do about it.
Yes, what we can do, and we want to share with all of you. You know, how to just get to heaven, essentially. That's what we're doing.
Ultimately, that's the goal.
And how do we do that? There's steps to get there.
Yeah.
And this is one of those steps to defeat and just overcome those diabolic forces. Yeah, diabolic forces that are always trying to get us to succumb to their whims.
Yeah, here's something interesting. We talked about it 2 weeks ago, but we'll go deeper into it.
Yes.
It's called the noonday devil.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the word noonday devil is actually in the Douay Rheims in the King James Bible in Psalm 91, verse 6. In the other Bibles, it says the darkness of the noonday, which also means the devil. And the same thing.
Yeah.
The terror of the noonday
is
some of the translations.
Mm-hmm.
We naturally associate evil and night with blackness, the dark, because that's what hell is. It's pure pitch black.
Yeah.
Can't even see your hand.
Yep.
But there's a terrible enemy that lurks when the sun is at its highest, which we Catholics call the noonday devil.
The name goes back many years to the ancient desert monks. The noonday devil, for them, referred not to physical fatigue, but to a kind of deflation of the soul called asadia. Asadia might be described as a depression that acknowledges the work of a demonic force intent on breaking the monk's spiritual resolve.
The term asadia is derived from the ancient Greek word akedia, meaning lack of care. St. Thomas writes about asadia in his Summa Theologiae as a sort, quote, as a sort of heavy sadness that presses down on a man's mind in such a way that no activity pleases him. By the way, we all go through that. Like I was talking to my wife. I was going through that through the last couple of days for, you know, different reasons, but you got to fight against it.
Got to fight
because it just comes upon you, and all of a sudden you cut yourself for days or hours in this spiritual sloth and depression, and you say, "I got to snap out of this." Mm-hmm. You know, like one of the things, for example, I haven't exercised in 3 weeks for whatever reason. Okay, yesterday I exercised for an hour. Boom, the endorphins that rushed through my body, did my night prayers, you know, for a long period of time, hit all my prayers yesterday. Boy, oh boy, yesterday I slept so good. And because it's ora et labora, it's pray and labor. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't for 3 weeks, I've been just a couch potato. And I got hit with acedia, and all of a sudden I'm saying, man, this noonday devil is making me become slothful, and it's affecting even my mind and my state of being.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when we in that state of being, what happens? We're thinking about ourselves.
Yes, me. Oh, me, poor me.
Poor me. I feel bad. I'm sick.
Yes.
I'm this. I'm that. Why is this happening to me? Well, what happens when you start thinking about yourself? You take your eyes off Christ.
Yeah.
You take your
and
eyes
off kingdom.
Things
just get worse, too.
It just gets worse because all you're thinking is yourself. So you're getting deeper, and it's like your shoulders just coming into your body.
Instead
and
of offering up those pains to God.
Saying, you know, Lord, this is what
here,
you
take
have
it,
me.
Take it.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to go forward, and, you know, this is my cross right now. Use it, Lord.
And so be
unite
it.
Unite your sufferings with the cross.
Amen.
And that's what
and
we
I,
do.
That's what
and
I was think, forgetting to do.
Yeah, and we
and
do
I know
that,
better
you know,
that. I know.
We also,
it's our morning prayer.
Yes, absolutely. We all, you know,
but it was
say
lip service. I wasn't doing it with my heart.
I was going to say that.
Unbelievable. So Evagrius of Pontus, a 3rd century desert father, writes that acedia is a kind of atonia or relaxation of the soul.
Mm-hmm. So, like C.S. Lewis, there's the character. His name's Uncle Screwtape. The Noonday Devil is an old seasoned veteran of his dark art. The Old Testament of the Bible, we are warned of the threat of acedia. Psalm 91, traditionally attributed to Moses as its composer, warns against, quote, the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the destruction that waits in a wastes at noonday. So where do we find that? In Psalm 91, 6.
And in the King James and the Douay Rheims, it says the word destruction, it says devil that wastes at noonday.
Oh,
I looked
devil.
It up in the Greek.
Wow.
The Greek is actually destruction. It doesn't say, the Greek actually says, it's like the more modern Bibles. Right. The Greek says the destruction that wastes at noonday. But we know that the destroyer is
the devil.
Devil.
Right.
So that's why the Douay Rheims and King James just puts, instead of destroyer, they put devil, because that's what he does.
Yeah,
does. Yeah.
He's a destroyer.
Go ahead.
But it was the desert monks of the early church who really brought the spiritual threat of acedia into the limelight. 4th century desert father John Cassian, a contemporary of Evagrius, illustrates how acedia manifests in a monk's cell.
And here's what desert father John Cassian says.
Mm-hmm.
He says about this noonday demon.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, he fancies that he will never be well while he stays in that place. Oh, no, or this is the person, the actual person. He fancies that he, the person, the monk, will never be well while he stays in that place until he leaves the cell, his room. Then the 5th or 6th hour brings him such bodily weariness and longing for food that he seems to himself worn out and wearied. Then besides this, he looks about anxiously this way and that and sighs that none of the brethren come to see him and often goes in and out of his cell, his room, and frequently gazes up at the sun as if it was too slow in setting. And so a kind of unreasonable confusion of mind takes possession of him like some foul darkness and makes him idle and useless for every spiritual work, so that he imagines that no cure for so terrible an attack can be found in anything except visiting someone of the brethren or in the solace of sleep alone. So notice what the noonday devil, just go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
And you know what? Many people that are suffering from depression, they want to just go in the room and sleep and close the blinds, very dark. And I've seen that before, because that's why I said it. You know, I've got family members.
Now, don't get me
that
wrong.
Suffer from
depression. Sometimes it's necessary.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if you're sleep deprived.
You got to do that.
Sometimes
you got to
take a nap.
We're talking about depression when you're somebody's talking. That's how they want to escape reality.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the sun. Why the sun, you know, is, you know, you think about the reality. Who's the reality?
God,
the truth?
Christ.
God.
Yeah.
I got to start thinking about him. I don't want to think about him. I want to go to sleep.
Close the blinds.
Yeah, close the blinds.
Close my eyes.
Yep. Don't talk to me. I don't want to go outside.
We continue.
So let's talk about the tactics. St. Thomas tells us that the noonday devil, okay. Let's talk about what we were talking. For such ascetics of the desert, midday was when the sun was most viciously beating down on them. Their energy was waning. Their fasting stomachs were growling. It was well known among the monks that it was then that the merciless noonday devil would be most looking to strike. They understood that when they were at their weakest, when they were hungry, bored, tired, angry, frustrated, or whatever, they needed to be most ready to engage the enemy and defend themselves. When we are weak, we are easy targets. Absolutely, I agree with that. But when we are spiritually alive and empowered by divine grace, we are a force for any demon to reckon with.
By the way, this is why
there's a difference.
Yeah. This is why we have to surround our family members and bathe them with prayer as they're dying, as they're sick and dying.
Yes,
because they're when they're physically weak, just like the article says, they're spiritually vulnerable to more attacks. And they even lose a desire to pray.
Yes.
They lose hope.
Yes.
They're like, oh, I don't need to have a priest. Don't
even
call nobody.
Especially if they never had a prayer life.
Yes.
Because it just didn't give them the will to continue prayer. Or if they can't speak, to listen to prayer.
Yeah.
You know, where there's some people we've known that just didn't want.
Reject prayer at the very end. We've seen it. Let's talk about
sad,
the tactics. St. Thomas tells us that the noonday devil wants to accomplish two things in us. First, sadness about spiritual good, and second, disgust with activity. Mm. All human action begins in the soul, which is where all our intentions and willpower are derived. The enemy knows that if our souls can be broken, it will have far-reaching effects both spiritually and practically.
See, they know.
How then do we overtake the demon of acedia? In the book, the noonday devil acedia, the unnamed evil of our times, Benedictine abbot Jean-Charles Nault offers several astonishingly simple tactics for combating the noonday devil, drawing especially from the ancient monks of the desert, as well as Saint Benedict, patron saint of parish priests. Here are some of the remedies that he suggests.
Oh, okay, we got to say, sidebar, is Jean.
Jean.
Jean. It's
French.
I just gave you a French lesson.
Jean.
Jean.
Thank you, baby.
Okay, you, so tears, the first one. Nault writes that in the Eastern spiritual tradition, tears serve as a sincere acknowledgement of one's need for a savior. They represent the exact opposite of lack of care, which you'll remember is the meaning of the ancient Greek term akedia. Genuine tears, then, are an outward manifestation of an inner desire for God's help. We might even say, offers Father Nault, that tears are a sign that the demon of acedia has already been conquered. Quote, sadness is burdensome and acedia is irresistible, end quote, writes Evagrius in his exhortation to a virgin. But tears shed before God are stronger than both.
That's why you notice people that, especially women that cry in the New Testament, Jesus listens to them. Mm-hmm. They pray and cry, and the Lord says, okay, your daughter's going to be healed.
I mean,
because that's a deep sign of connecting with God. Like it says, it shows your acknowledgement of one's need for a Savior, tears.
Yes.
That's deep. I didn't realize that.
Yep.
And that's a weakness in men because men hold back their tears.
They hold back their tears because it's not manly.
Why are women holier than men, generally speaking? Because they don't hold back their tears when they want God.
Yeah.
And guys do, which is the opposite of what they should be doing.
Right.
They should be going to the Blessed Sacrament and crying out to God. Literally, tears coming up. Going into a Catholic church during the weekday and crying out to God. Literally with tears.
Yes, literally. And you know what? You men that cry in front of women, you don't know what it does to that woman's spiritual growth.
Mm.
Because if you just see a man just totally give himself to Christ and humbling himself, it's just so beautiful.
Hold that thought, babe. We'll be right back.
Unexpressible.
Jesus 911. Thanks for that comment. That was really good. We'll be back. Stick around.
The cause of our joy. Something to be joy about. We're in the Easter time.
Are the bright little dawn, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your
I love that bumper music.
It's a bit
your beauty and your grace are oh my gosh. Grace of
grace.
A great new dawn.
this is
beautiful.
It's the most beautiful bumper music on Catholic radio and Catholic podcasting, the one that we have.
Of course, we're biased.
By the way, before we continue on this, I just want to forgot to bless my wife. May the Lord bless her. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Protect her, keep her safe, and heal her body, mind, and soul. Amen.
May the Lord bless my husband. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Heal him, keep him safe. Bless him all the days of his life. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, baby. Let's continue. We're talking about 5 points on the how to combat the noonday devil. The second one is ora et labora, yep, prayer and work.
This is what we were talking about.
What is it saying?
It's okay. It says prayer and work. Saint Benedict famously emphasized the rotation of these two essential human activities in his rule. He knew that balance in life was important and that prayer and work were important for every human being, even monks. As Father Dwight Longnecker, he tells us, quote, ordinary hard work helps him learn obedience and prayer leads to a deep conversion of life. Work grounds the monk in the hard realities of the physical world, but it also brings dignity because it is creative and productive, end quote. That's from Father Dwight Longnecker.
If Evagrius is an early church writer, is strikingly practical in this regard. He says, quote, perseverance is the cure for acedia, along with the execution of all tasks with great attention. Set a measure for yourself in every work and do not let up until you have completed it.
Mm-hmm. Of course, for the acedia stricken, prayer might seem an impossibility, but one who wants to beat the noonday demon must simply try and try simply, no matter how feeble the attempt. For as Saint Jose Maria Escriva writes in The Way, even just attempting to pray is prayer.
I like that.
Wow, I like that too. Attempting to pray, I want to pray to Jesus. Wow, simple as that is prayer.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Wow.
God takes care of the rest. Put yourself in the presence of God, says Saint Jose Maria. And once you have said, Lord, I don't know how to pray, rest assured that you have begun to do so. There you go.
Yeah.
Just the attempt to pray is a prayer.
Because God sees your soul. My child is trying to pray for me. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to say. He's kind of like, doesn't have much to draw from, but he's trying. That effort is there.
That's a prayer.
Yeah.
The attempt.
Number three, this is the big one here. Talking back to the devil. Mm-hmm. The technical name for this strategy is the anteretic method, mm-hmm. which is derived from the Greek word for contradiction. The idea behind this method is to use scripture verses or prayers that contradict the evil thoughts that enter our minds about ourselves or others or divine things. Mm-hmm. This method of talking back is exemplified by Jesus himself in the Judean desert when he responds to Satan's Bible verse slinging with some verse slinging of his own, mm-hmm. in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Mm-hmm. In fact, the well-known Jesus prayer of the Eastern Church mm-hmm. was born out of this contradiction method. Mm-hmm. So the words of the prayer that go back to the 4th century at least, maybe even earlier, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, can seem deceivingly simple and inadequate, but the prayer sums up the whole truth about God and us, and that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and that we are sinners in need of divine mercy. Therefore, this prayer prayed heartily mm-hmm. from the heart on repeat is the perfect remedy for any soul's bout with lack of care. So if you're suffering from the noonday demon, just stop where you're at. Start, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This way you're fighting back and you're projecting those prayers back to that noonday devil.
Those are arrow prayers. And you could even say, Jesus, I trust in you.
That's another
Jesus,
one.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Yeah.
Jesus, I trust. Because sometimes we're at work or we're somewhere, we can't do it in our minds. Just, you know, at that noonday, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And then that.
And you know what's beautiful prayer, about. There's a famous saint, I forget his name. He wrote a book. It's called Divine Abandonment of the Self. I'll find out who it is. It's a very famous saint.
Yes.
And that's what the Jesus, I trust in you prayer is.
Mm-hmm.
It's abandonment to the divine will, to God, to abandonment to God, to divine providence, to his will.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I trust in you. That's a short little, I'm abandoning everything, my thoughts, words, deeds, to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's an abandonment prayer. And those prayers, when you abandon yourself to God and surrender yourself, those are the most pleasing to God.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They are.
Number four,
it's memento mori.
Remember the day of your death.
Evagrius taught that self-love is the root of all sin. By meditating on death, then we remind ourselves that we are but dust and dust we shall return. We also remind ourselves of the real possibility of eternal life and the choice we must make in this life about where we want to spend our eternity. Saint Benedict, echoing his predecessor once again, writes in his role that one is to keep death daily before one's eyes. The idea is not to wallow in the morbid thoughts. It's the opposite, actually. For every Christian knows what Saint Paul professed so eloquently to the Romans, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. You can find that in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 18. Thus, as Abbot Nolte writes, the thought of death precisely gives meaning to passing time, restores a linear orientation, gives it a sense, in both senses of the word, direction and signification.
And number five, the fifth way to fight the noonday demon is perseverance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Abbot Nolte calls this the essential remedy. Mm-hmm. And it's really quite simple. Get back on, stay on the path. Mm-hmm. Like I fell off the path for a few weeks in terms of just physical laziness. Mm-hmm. And I jumped back on it last night. I said, I know what I got to do to fight this.
And I have to defend my husband because he gets so involved in our ministry and apostolic work that he just forgets about his body, that it brings, you know, renews his mind and his body, and he forgets that it's okay to exercise and to take care of the self.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's
of
my
course,
fault
not putting above of God.
Right. It is my fault not to get too deep into my life, but I took on 4 book projects and they all coalesced into like right now.
Yeah. So,
and so I'll never do this again. I got 4 books coming, 4, mm-hmm. not what, 4.
Yeah.
And I'm working with 4 different editors. So I brought this upon myself I won't do this again. Abbot Nolte writes, perseverance sometimes consists of remaining without doing anything or else, on the contrary, doing everything that one did not think one had come to do. But ultimately, little matters. What does matter is to endure.
To endure.
As Dr. Dan Schneider says, our army buddy, he says, soldier on, soldier on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Endure.
And soldier
endure,
on.
Endure, soldier.
Yeah. Because that's what they are.
Yeah.
Male and females, and confirmation,
we're soldiers.
Soldiers of Christ.
Yes,
no, I'm a female. I don't care if you're female.
Yeah,
you're a soldier of Christ.
Well, there's female soldiers now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So they can't
Joan of Arc was a soldier.
Yep.
Bishop laid hands on you. Guess what? You're
a soldier
of Christ.
Yep.
Period.
We're in the battle.
Yeah.
This is a church militant.
Yes.
We are in the battle.
The point is stay focused and active. Even standing still requires work and intention. So whether you must be on the move or at rest, if you're where you ought to be, Father Michael sees, so I say that, mm-hmm. I am where I ought to be.
I'm
looking
to be.
At him right now. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Stay there. It might not be easy, but willingly entering the fight here and now will bear fruit for the future. Mm-hmm. You'll be better off in the long run. Remember again St. Paul's words in Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 5.
Mm-hmm. We also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has given to us.
Romans chapter
3, verse 3 to 5.
So we just gave you 5 ways to beat the noonday devil.
Yeah. I want to get back to the momentum mortis. I think it's important that
we need to make some comments.
Yeah, I think we as Catholics, we know all of us go to funerals, awakes, you know, where people dying that we don't have a relationship with. But I think we as Catholics, we need to reflect on that could have been me. Where am I ready to die today? Am I ready to die this way? If God takes my breath away, because he's in control, he's in control of life. He knows the day, the time, and the hour when we're going to be in his presence. And we always have to think about our death, because I believe that that makes us want to, you know, grow in faith
and reject holiness and virtue
and reject sin.
Yeah. Amen.
And so
reflect, remember the day of your death.
So always think when you get up, hey, that's our resurrection. We get up in the morning. We go to
sleep.
It's a dress rehearsal. We go to bed. We've talked about this before. We close our eyes.
That's a dress rehearsal
for our death. So just remember that the last words in your mouth should be Jesus, Mary. Jesus, Mary, love you. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, we love you.
Save souls.
Forgive me. Have mercy on me, a sinner.
Amen.
Before.
Yeah, so, you know, who, you know, the ex-Satanist who became a Catholic, Blessed Bartolo Longo, that was one of his favorite prayers. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Save souls. Also, yes. I remember Father Scott, I forget his last name, Anita, from Florida.
Father Scott.
You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I remember he gave a talk that impacted me 25 years ago. He said that the most important day of our life here on planet Earth is the day we die. I never forgot that.
Yes, I never either.
What was his last name?
Father Scott.
It'll come to us. Holy priest from Florida.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that. The most important day of our life is the day we die. Because at that moment, it's the elevator goes up or down.
Yes, absolutely. Goes up and down. And the elevator comes out. You meet Jesus and you go, whoop, whoop. Which one?
Yeah.
And it opens up and Jesus is standing there.
This isn't like some woke little league where you get like a participation trophy.
No, absolutely not.
Like I tried.
Yeah, I tried.
No, Jesus, you either die in a state of grace or you
didn't.
Can I
have a second term? Nope. That's God's, right now it's his mercy, everyone. So just take,
gonna be his
right now it's mercy. He's asking for,
ask
for
his mercy. The music.
Oh, yeah, this was a great show. And at least I thought so.
I loved it.
You know, if you have a different opinion, let us know. You know what you think?
No, I'm sure they hit my third. Well, thank you very much, family.
Yeah, it was great.
America, wake up to Jesus. Don't hit the snooze button. Global warming alert. Jesus is coming. Are you ready?
Have a most blessed weekend.
We'll see you next time.
Prepare for Sunday Mass.
Amen. God bless you. Keep the faith.
God bless you.